Chapter 34. Not a spare bed in the house, my dear sir, not a single bed. Apostrophe, extremely awkward, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Very, apostrophe said his fellow voyagers. I have an idea upon this subject, apostrophe said Mr. Poet, which I think may be very successfully adopted. They have two beds at the Peacock, and I can boldly say, on behalf of Mrs. Poet, that she will be delighted to accommodate Mr. Pickwick and any one of his friends, if the other two gentlemen and their servant do not object to shifting, as they best can, at the Peacock. Apostrophe, after repeated pressings on the part of Mr. Poet, and repeated protestations on that of Mr. Pickwick, that he could not think of incommoding or troubling his amiable wife, it was decided that it was the only feasible arrangement that could be made. So it was made, and after dinner together at the Town Arms, the friends separated. Mr. Tupman and Mr. Snodgrass repairing to the Peacock, and Mr. Pickwick and Mr. Winkle proceeding to the mansion of Mr. Poet, it having been previously arranged that they should all reassemble at the Town Arms in the morning, and accompany the Honorable Samuel Slumkey's procession to the place of nomination. Mr. Poet's domestic circle was limited to himself and his wife. All men whom mighty genius has raised to a proud eminence in the world have usually some little weakness which appears the more conspicuous from the contrast it presents to their general character. If Mr. Poet had a weakness, it was, perhaps, that he was rather too submissive to the somewhat contemptuous control and sway of his wife. We do not feel justified in laying any particular stress upon the fact, because on the present occasion all Mrs. Poet's most winning ways were brought into requisition to receive the two gentlemen. My dear, apostrophe said Mr. Poet, apostrophe Mr. Pickwick of London. Apostrophe, Mrs. Poet received Mr. Pickwick's paternal grasp of the hand with enchanting sweetness. And Mr. Winkle, who had not been announced at all, sidled and bowed, unnoticed, in an obscure corner. P, my dear, said Mrs. Poet. My life, apostrophe, said Mr. Poet. Pray introduce the other gentleman. Apostrophe, I beg a thousand pardons, apostrophe, said Mr. Poet. Permit me, Mrs. Poet, Mr. Apostrophe, Winkle, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Winkle, apostrophe echoed Mr. Poet, and the ceremony of introduction was complete. We owe you many apologies, ma'am, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, for disturbing your domestic arrangements at so short a notice. Apostrophe, I beg you won't mention it, sir, apostrophe replied the feminine poet, with vivacity. It is a high treat to me, I assure you, to see any new faces. Living as I do, from day to day, and week to week, in this dull place, and seeing nobody. Apostrophe, nobody, my dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mr. Poet archly. Nobody but you, apostrophe, retorted Mrs. Poet, with asperity. You see, Mr. Pickwick, apostrophe, said the host in explanation of his wife's lament, that we are in some measure cut off from many enjoyments, and pleasures of which we might otherwise partake. My public station, as editor of the Atansville Gazette, the position which that paper holds in the country, my constant immersion in the vortex of politics, apostrophe, P, my dear, apostrophe, interposed Mrs. Poet. My life, apostrophe, said the editor. I wish, my dear, you would endeavor to find some topic of conversation in which these gentlemen might take some rational interest. Apostrophe, but, my love, apostrophe said Mr. Poet, with great humility, apostrophe Mr. Pickwick does take an interest in it. Apostrophe, it's well for him if he can, apostrophe said Mrs. Poet emphatically. I am wearied out of my life with your politics, and quarrels with the independent, and nonsense. I am quite astonished, P, at your making such an exhibition of your absurdity. Apostrophe, but, my dear apostrophe said Mr. Poet. Oh, nonsense, don't talk to me, apostrophe said Mrs. Poet. Do you play ecarte, sir? apostrophe apostrophe, I shall be very happy to learn under your tuition, apostrophe replied Mr. Winkle. Well then, draw that little table into this window, and let me get out of hearing of those prosy politics. Apostrophe, Jane, apostrophe said Mr. Poet, to the servant who brought in candles, go down into the office, and bring me up the file of the Gazette for 1826. I'll read you, apostrophe added the editor, turning to Mr. Pickwick. I'll just read you a few of the leaders I wrote at that time upon the buff job of appointing a new tollman to the turnpike here. I rather think they'll amuse you. Apostrophe, I should like to hear them very much indeed, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Up came the file, and down sat the editor, with Mr. Pickwick at his side. We have in vain pored over the leaves of Mr. Pickwick's notebook, in the hope of meeting with a general summary of these beautiful compositions. We have every reason to believe that he was perfectly enraptured with the vigor and freshness of the style. Indeed, Mr. Winkle has recorded the fact that his eyes were closed, as if with excess of pleasure, during the whole time of their perusal. The announcement of supper put a stop both to the game of ecarte and the recapitulation of the beauties of the Atansville Gazette. Mrs. Poet was in the highest spirits and the most agreeable humor. Mr. Winkle had already made considerable progress in her good opinion, and she did not hesitate to inform him, confidentially, that Mr. Pickwick was a delightful old dear. Apostrophe, these terms convey a familiarity of expression, in which few of those who were intimately acquainted with that colossal-minded man would have presumed to indulge. We have preserved them, nevertheless, as affording at once a touching and a convincing proof of the estimation in which he was held by every class of society, and the case with which he made his way to their hearts and feelings. It was a late hour of the night, long after Mr. Tupman and Mr. Snodgrass had fallen asleep in the inmost recesses of the Peacock, when the two friends retired to rest. Slumber soon fell upon the senses of Mr. Winkle, but his feelings had been excited, and his admiration roused, and for many hours after sleep had rendered him insensible to earthly objects, the face and figure of the agreeable Mrs. Poet presented themselves again and again to his wandering imagination. The noise and bustle which ushered in the morning were sufficient to dispel from the mind of the most romantic visionary in existence any associations but those which were immediately connected with the rapidly approaching election. The beating of drums, the blowing of horns and trumpets, the shouting of men, and tramping of horses, echoed and re-echoed through the streets from the earliest dawn of day, and an occasional fight between the light skirmishers of either party at once enlivened the preparations, and agreeably diversified their character. Well, Sam, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, as his valet appeared at his bedroom door, just as he was concluding his toilet. All alive today, I suppose? Apostrophe apostrophe, reglar game, sir, apostrophe replied Mr. Weller. Our people's a collecting down at the Town Arms, and they're a hollering themselves hoarse already. Apostrophe, ah, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, do they seem devoted to their party, Sam? Apostrophe, never see such devotion in my life, sir. Apostrophe, energetic, eh? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Uncommon, apostrophe replied Sam. I never see men eat and drink so much afore. I wonder they ain't afeard o' bustin'. Apostrophe, that's the mistaken kindness of the gentry here, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. Worry likely, apostrophe replied Sam briefly. Fine, fresh hearty fellows they seem, apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, glancing from the window. Worry fresh, apostrophe replied Sam. Me and the two waiters at the Peacock has been a pumpin' over the independent voters as supped there last night. Apostrophe, pumping over independent voters. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mr. Pickwick. Yes, apostrophe said his attendant, every man slept ere he fell down. We dragged them out, one by one, this morning, and put them under the pump, and they're in reglar fine order now. Shillin' a head the committee paid for that ear job. Apostrophe, can such things be? Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed the astonished Mr. Pickwick. Lord bless your heart, sir, apostrophe, said Sam, why where was you half baptized? That's nothing, that ain't. Apostrophe, nothing? Apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Nothing at all, sir, apostrophe, replied his attendant. The night afore the last day o' the last election here, the opposite party bribed the barmaid at the Town Arms to hocus the brandy and water of 14 unpolled electors as was a stoppin' in the house. Apostrophe, what do you mean by hocusing brandy and water? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Pickwick. Puttin' laudanum in it, apostrophe, replied Sam. Blessed if she didn't send them all to sleep till 12 hours arter the election was over. They took one man up to the booth, in a truck, fast asleep, by way of experiment, but it was no go, they wouldn't pull him, so they brought him back, and put him to bed again. Apostrophe, strange practices, these, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, half speaking to himself and half addressing Sam. Not half so strange as a miraculous circumstance has happened to my own father, at an election time, in this worry place, sir, apostrophe, replied Sam. What was that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Pickwick. Why, he drove a coach down here once, apostrophe, said Sam. Election time came on, and he was engaged by one party to bring down voters from London. Night afore he was going to drive up, committee on the other side sends for him quietly, and away he goes with the messenger, who shows him in. Large room, lots of gentlemen, heaps of papers, pens and ink, and all that here. Ah, Mr. Weller, says the gentleman in the chair, glad to see you, sir. How are you? Worry well, thank'ee, sir, says my father. I hope you're pretty middlin', says he. Pretty well, thank'ee, sir, says the gentleman. Sit down, Mr. Weller, pray sit down, sir. So my father sits down, and he and the gentleman looks worry hard at each other. You don't remember me? Said the gentleman. Can't say I do, says my father. Oh, I know you, says the gentleman. Knowed you when you was a boy, says he. Well, I don't remember you, says my father. That's worry odd, says the gentleman. Worry, says my father. You must have a bad memory, Mr. Weller, says the gentleman. Well, it is a worry bad un, says my father. I thought so, says the gentleman. So then they pours him out a glass of wine, and gammons him about his driving, and gets him into a reglar good humor, and at last shoves a 20-pound note into his hand. It's a worry bad road between this and London, says the gentleman. Here and there it is a heavy road, says my father. Especially near the canal, I think, says the gentleman. Nasty bit that ere, says my father. Well, Mr. Weller, says the gentleman, you're a worry good whip, and can do what you like with your horses, we know. We're all worry fond o' you, Mr. Weller, so in case you should have an accident, when you're bringing these here waters down, and should tip them over into the canal without hurting of them, this is for yourself, says he. Gentlemen, you're worry kind, says my father, and I'll drink your health in another glass of wine, says he, which he did, and then buttons up the money, and bows himself out. You wouldn't believe, sir, apostrophe, continued Sam, with a look of inexpressible impudence at his master, that on the worry day as he came down with them waters, his coach was upset on that ere worry spot, and every man on them was turned into the canal. Apostrophe, and got out again? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Pickwick hastily. Why, apostrophe, replied Sam very slowly, I rather think one old gentleman was missin'. I know his hat was found, but I ain't quite certain whether his head was in it or not. But what I look at is the extraordinary and wonderful coincidence, that arter what that gentleman said, my father's coach should be upset in that worry place, and on that worry day. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is, no doubt, a very extraordinary circumstance indeed, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. But brush my hat, Sam, for I hear Mr. Winkle calling me to breakfast. Apostrophe. With these words, Mr. Pickwick descended to the parlor, where he found breakfast laid, and the family already assembled. The meal was hastily dispatched. Each of the gentlemen's hats was decorated with an enormous blue favor, made up by the fair hands of Mrs. Poet herself. And as Mr. Winkle had undertaken to escort that lady to a housetop in the immediate vicinity of the hustings, Mr. Pickwick and Mr. Poet repaired alone to the Town Arms, from the back window of which one of Mr. Slumkey's committee was addressing six small boys and one girl, whom he dignified, at every second sentence, with the imposing title of Men of Tansville, apostrophe whereat the six small boys aforesaid cheered prodigiously. The stable yard exhibited unequivocal symptoms of the glory and strength of the Tansville Blues. There was a regular army of blue flags, some with one handle, and some with two, exhibiting appropriate devices, in golden characters 4 feet high, and stout in proportion. There was a grand band of trumpets, bassoons, and drums, marshaled four abreast, and earning their money, if ever men did, especially the drum beaters, who were very muscular. There were bodies of constables with blue staves, 20 committee men with blue scarfs, and a mob of voters with blue cockades. There were lictors on horseback and lictors afoot. There was an open carriage and four, for the Honorable Samuel Slumkey, and there were four carriage and pair, for his friends and supporters. And the flags were rustling, and the band was playing, and the constables were swearing, and the 20 committee men were squabbling, and the mob were shouting, and the horses were backing, and the postboys perspiring, and everybody, and everything, then and there assembled, was for the special use, behoof, honor, and renown, of the Honorable Samuel Slumkey, of Slumkey Hall, one of the candidates for the representation of the borough of Tansville. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.